Without any further delay then, brethren and sisters, we'll now ask for your earnest and undivided attention to the words of Brother Arthur as he speaks to us on Psalm 48.
My beloved brethren and sisters in Israel's glorious hope. As we have studied the Psalms this weekend, and we have heard the expositions and the exhortations that they have found in the Psalms for Brother Steve and Brother Robert and Brother Philip, we are bound to appreciate what a privileged people we are. What a privileged people we are to be Abraham's seed and to be heirs according to the promises. God's wonderful plan and purpose with this earth and man upon it. To have the knowledge of the glorious time that is to come upon this earth when the faithful of the ages shall live and reign with Christ when he sets up that kingdom that shall never be moved, wherein dwelleth righteousness and peace. The Psalms which we have been considering this weekend, brethren and sisters, speak of the glorious things which are to come. Things in which the world about us are totally ignorant of, and who will be caught unawares when Christ returns to judge this earth. They will be caught unawares as a thief to them. To Abraham's seed through faith, the heirs of the glorious promises, we long, do we not, brothers and sisters, for those promises to become a reality in the earth. Just as did David, the sweet psalmist of Israel in his day, he says, did he not, that man after God's own heart, it was all his salvation and it was all his desire that these beautiful things that he had been taught by the word would come to pass. Yahweh in his promises to Abraham said, all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed as the dust of the earth. Then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. For I will give it unto thee, to him and his seed. That is you, brothers and sisters, and it is I, if we are found faithful in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ at his judgment seat. Psalm 48, our subject this evening, speaking of those glorious things promised to Abraham and his seed, commences in verse 1. Great is Yahweh, and highly to be praised in the city of our Elohim, in his holy mountain, beautiful for elevation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. For this to be exclaimed, you brethren and sisters, in Yahweh's holy mountain, at this moment in time, the Lord Jesus Christ must have already judged the household at Sinai, and that those found faithful, having been bestowed with immortality, must be with him in the judgments upon those nations, that confederacy of Gog, and those who dared to come up against his people Israel. For the Lord Jesus Christ, at the moment of the beginning of this psalm, is being praised and glorified by those who had been with him in that victory. The Apostle John reveals to us in the Apocalypse that the saints and the angels in the day over the victory of the nations cry, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, and honour and glory and blessing. And Zechariah says in his 14th chapter, speaking of the judgment upon the nations, says Christ's feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem in the, on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst toward, therefore, toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it shall remove toward the south, and he shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, he shall flee like he fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And Yahweh, the Lord Jesus Christ, the manifestation of Yahweh in glory, shall come, and all the saints with thee. The terrible earthquake spoken of by the prophet Zechariah had shaken the Mount of Olives, in which had been divided in two, when half, he said, would go to the south and half to the north. And Zion, the city of Elohim, was now at this moment towering above the place where the Mount of Olives once stood. So that as they sing, it is now beautiful for in elevation. It has become the joy of the whole earth on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Armageddon and the judgments upon the nations had passed at this time, for Yahweh's fury had come up in his face. Ezekiel in chapter 40 and verse 2, speaking of this house of prayer for all nations, says, in the visions of Elohim brought he me into the land of Israel, and set me upon a very great mountain, by which has a frame of a city on the south. So, brethren and sisters, the house of prayer for all people is to be built upon the mountain of Zion, which had been lifted up. And in Psalm 2, the psalmist tells us, prophesying of these wonderful days, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Psalm 24 reads, who shall ascend, as we have just sung, into the hill of Yahweh? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Isaiah and Micah testify also, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of Yahweh's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. Brother Sully, in his book on the temple of Ezekiel's prophecy, which we are studying in the adult class in the Sunday school, shows through the effect of the terrible earthquake, all the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. And it shall be lifted up. From Geba to Rimmon, brethren and sisters, Brother Sully says, is a considerable distance. And he says, without being able to speak precisely, Geba is more than 7 miles north of Jerusalem, while Rimmon is about 40 miles southward. Roughly speaking then, says Brother Sully, a district 50 miles square will be lifted up, and with it the bed of the Dead Sea, thus bringing the waters to the required level for a waterway connection with the Mediterranean Sea. And upon this vast plateau, the mountain of Yahweh, the house of prayer for all nations, will be built, to which the people will go up to worship the King of Glory, even to the highest point in the land of Israel. And speaking of those terrible judgments that had come upon the nations who had come upon the land of Israel, the psalmist says in verse 4 of that Psalm 48, "For lo, the kings were assembled," past tense, brothers and sisters, "they passed by together, they saw it, and so they marveled, they were troubled, and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind." As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of Yahweh of armies, in the city of Elohim. Elohim will establish it forever. Yes, God will establish it through the hidden period or the millennium. And Brother Thomas, in Eureka, Volume 2, and page 14, speaking of the throne of glory upon which the seed of David shall sit in that glorious age, of which the psalmist speaks of, it said, "It may be asked, what terrestrial locality will this throne in heaven be established? What is the topography of the substance or reality of the vision John beheld in spirit?" The answer, he says, is Mount Zion in Jerusalem. Brother Thomas then quotes concerning the psalm we are considering. And he says, "As it is written, great is Yahweh and greatly to be praised in the city of our Elohim, the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the earth is Mount Zion, the sides of the north, the citadel of the great king." And then he goes on and he says, the kings, and he mentions under Gog, the kings under Gog were assembled. And instead of past, as we have in the Revised Version, we have perished. And so what we have is the kings were assembled, that's Gog and his confederacy, and they perished together. They perished together. They beheld, so were they in consternation. They were terrified. In terror they hasted away. Terror, trembling seized upon them there, and anguish as a parturient woman. Unquote. That's what Brother Thomas says regarding that city to be built. And as Ezekiel so clearly shows, brethren and sisters, of that Gogian confederacy, only a sixth of that confederacy of nations escaped the terrible judgments. We have been speaking today about the judgments of God and of the goodness and the severity of God. Ezekiel points out only a sixth of that confederacy of nations that comes upon Israel escaped the terrible judgments poured out upon them. The remnant, as Brother Robert, as Brother Thomas, and as the psalm points out, hastes away in abject terror. Fear takes hold of them there, and pain as a woman in travail. As Yahweh, through the prophet Joel, tells us, brethren and sisters, "I will gather all nations, and bring them into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there. For what reason? For my people Israel. I will plead with them there for my people Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And Joel says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision or threshing, for the day of Yahweh is near in the valley of threshing, when Yahweh shall judge upon Gog and those that come against Israel. And multitudes there will be there, brethren and sisters. But can we for one moment imagine what it will be like in that day of judgment? The terror of war, the effect of that earthquake splitting that Mount of Olives in two and giving a plateau 50 square miles. Brethren and sisters, what a terrible time for those soldiers and so forth that will be in that judgment. Turn with me to Ezekiel and chapter 39. Ezekiel chapter 39 and verse 18. He shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the fences of the earth, of lambs and of goats, of bullocks, and all them fatlings of Bashan. And he shall eat fat till he be full, and drink blood till he be drunken of my sacrifice which I have sacrificed for you. Thus shall he be filled at my table with horses and chariots, with mighty men, and with all men of war, saith Adonai Yahweh. And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I, Yahweh, their Elohim, from that day forward. Verse 27. For I have brought them again from the people, and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and am sanctified in them. And am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations. Then shall they know that I am Yahweh their Elohim, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But I have gathered them unto their own land, and there are none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face any more. For I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith Adonai Yahweh. Yes, brethren and sisters, we read in that psalm, such will be the carnage. It will take 7 months to bury the dead when the conflict ceases. 7 months, brethren and sisters, to bury the dead when that terrible conflict ceases. And Armageddon is a part of that time of trouble of which Daniel speaks. Such trouble as there has never been upon the earth since there was a nation. May we, brethren and sisters, consider these things seriously, that we may be with Christ when those terrible things come upon the earth. Turn to Isaiah in chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. How important it is, brethren and sisters, and how serious it is that we be with Yahweh in that terrible day of judgment. Chapter 26 and verse 20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, Yahweh cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. How important it is then, brethren and sisters, that we be with Yahweh in that day, that we might be with that rainbowed angel that will go forth with the judgments and not be the recipient of that judgment that will come. In verse 7 of that Psalm 48 we read, "Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind." Just a thought here, brethren and sisters. For though we speak of Tarshish, of which Jonah was fleeing to from Yahweh, as Britain, Tarshish is also a word also used to describe large sea-going vessels. And as we can imagine, brethren and sisters, there will be in that area of the Mediterranean at that time of judgment many, many large warships of the nations in battle. And Christ and the saints coming up judgment upon the nations will no doubt have the power to wreck and to destroy those vessels, just as they destroy the armies upon the mountains of Israel. We have seen, have we not so very long ago too, that tsunami, that earthquake which was under the sea, on what terrible damage it caused. What price, brothers and sisters, when this earthquake, which will bring the Dead Sea up to the level of the Mediterranean, so that the one will flow into the other, what damage must be caused upon anything upon that Mediterranean Sea. Of course, as the prophet speaks, judgment comes upon all nations of the world, and we know that Britain also will be judged. It will not escape, for as the prophet Isaiah in his second chapter in verse 10 shows us, the lofty looks of man shall be humbled. Turn with me to Isaiah in chapter 2 and verse 20. Isaiah chapter 2. And verse, we read first upon in verse 14. "And upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pictures, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of man shall be made low, and Yahweh alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols shall he abolish utterly, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth. For the fear of Yahweh and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth, in that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats. Our gold and our money will be of useless to us in 9 days. Go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of Yahweh and for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Cease he from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of?" Yes, brethren and sisters, a day is coming when God will judge the nations and the lofty looks of man. Man is so lofty in the day in which he lived. Look at the wonderful things that he's done, brethren and sisters. He's done all these wonderful things. He can go to the moon. He's got aeroplanes that can fly from one place to the other. And man today is very, very wealthy. But it'll all come to an end. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and Yahweh alone. Ye that shall be mighty ones shall be exalted in that day. The psalm continues in verse 9. It speaks of the faithful and Israel of the flesh, having entered into the glorious temple built upon that holy hill of Zion. And they say, we have fought of thy loving kindness, O Elohim, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O Elohim, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. They have come now, brothers and sisters, into the temple courts with joy. And they meditate upon Yahweh's mighty acts on Israel's behalf. They think upon Yahweh's unfailing love toward them. Turn to Psalm 31 and verse 19. Psalm 31 and verse 19. Verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be Yahweh, for he hath showed me his marvellous kindness in a strong day. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love Yahweh, all ye his saints, for Yahweh preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in Yahweh. And here they are in that temple. Here they are, and they are thinking upon the wonderful acts that Yahweh has done for Israel. And verse 10 tells us, according to thy name, O Elohim, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ, brethren and sisters, is known now throughout the earth. We can go out into the streets and we can mention the name of Christ. Oh, they know Christ, yes. They are quite familiar with his name. They know his name. But in the day that of Yahweh, the name of Christ shall resound unto the honor of that name. For all the earth shall know him, from the least unto the greatest. At the name of Jesus in that day, all knees shall bow. All knees shall bow. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords upon the earth. And it was mentioned this afternoon, we'll read it, Isaiah in chapter 9 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Those wonderful words that we read so often, but are so wonderful. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, or as we hear this afternoon, El Gibor, the Mighty One, the Everlasting Father, the Father of that age, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of Yahweh of armies will perform this. The zeal of Yahweh of armies will perform this. Thy right hand, we read, is full of righteousness. The Jerusalem Bible says, your right hand holds the victory. And the Revised Standard Version says, thy right hand is filled with victory. The right hand is depicted as the right hand, as that which does the work, is it not? And we think of the words, the Son of my right hand, the Lord Jesus Christ, full of righteousness, who said unto his Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And as we have heard this day, he died in the house of his friends. He gave his life that we might have life and have it in abundance. Full of righteousness, not my will, but thy will be done. The Lord Jesus Christ was victorious over sin, and he was bestowed upon with glory and majesty and set in his Father's throne. And to those who trust him in his name and who walks and strives to overcome the sin of the flesh, he shall say unto them, come and sit with me in my throne of glory. And the faithful shall sit and be with his government as he judges the earth in righteousness and in peace. He will be victorious too over sin in political manifestation, and will finally bring this earth, he will finally bring this earth into subjection to his Father's will, that all will be spirit, that all will do those things which are pleasing unto his Father. Let's turn to Psalm 97. Psalm 97. And we'll read verse 1 of 97. Where's it by? Right, I've got it. Sorry. What we read in verse 1. Yahweh reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goes before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of Yahweh, at the presence of Yahweh of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people will see his glory. All the people shall see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Yahweh. For thou, Yahweh, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. He that loveth Yahweh hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in Yahweh, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. And then in verse 98, O sing unto Yahweh a new song, for he hath done marvellous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him, hath gotten him the victory. That's what we read in the psalm. His right hand and his holy arm, the Lord Jesus Christ, and those with him have gotten him the victory. Yahweh hath made known his salvation, his righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto Yahweh, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto Yahweh with the harp and with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a cornet. Make a joyful noise before Yahweh the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands, all the nations. Let the hills, the small nations, be joyful together before Yahweh. For he cometh to judge the earth with righteousness. Shall he judge the world and the people with equity? Yes, brethren and sisters, it speaks of that glorious time to come, does it not? David, when he was about to go the way of all the earth, and Solomon was just about to sit upon the throne of Yahweh in Jerusalem, a type of the kingdom which is about to be set up. David speaks of the future kingdom to come when his greater son shall rule. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. First Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 6. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of the thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the kings, were offered willingly, and give for the service of the house of Elohim of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams of silver, 10,000 talents and of brass 18,000 talents and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found, give them to the treasure of the house of Yahweh by the house of Jehiel and Gershon, the Gershonite. And then the people rejoiced. Now, I have lost the part which I wanted, brothers and sisters. I think he must have been the 28th. But verse 20 of that 28th chapter. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of a good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For Yahweh Elohim, even my Elohim, we will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of God, of Yahweh. That time to come, that time David speaks of, when indeed his greater son shall sit upon that throne, when all the nations shall indeed give of their glory and of their might unto Christ. And Christ shall be exalted as head above all. Thou reignest, said David. I misquoted that chapter. David says, Christ shall be exalted above all. Thou reignest above all. And that day, brothers and sisters, is about to dawn. That day when John predicted in the Apocalypse, when the faithful shall sing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And in verse 11 of that psalm we read, let Mount Zion rejoice, Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Because of thy judgments. After all the years of the dispersion, brethren and sisters, of Israel throughout the earth, the terrible sufferings and the persecution that they have gone through, Israel now realizes why it was so. In the temple, they look and they realize why it was so that they suffered so much, and who it was that had saved them from utter annihilation at the hands of Gog and his confederates. It was the very one whom their fathers and they themselves had rejected and let the Romans put him to death. On being saved from the Gogian host by the Lord Jesus Christ, and they come before him and they say, What are these wounds in thine hands? And they had been told, these of which I was wounded in the house of my friends. What a terrible thing to realize, brethren and sisters. On hearing these things and seeing the one there with the wounds in his hands and in his feet, they mourn for him as an only son, every family apart. They mourn as one mourneth for an only son, every family apart. Then when the mourning is over, brethren and sisters, they rejoice and they worship him, for he has saved them from those that hated them and had persecuted them for nigh on 2,000 years. They are then exhorted, brethren and sisters, to go round about the temple. Verse 12. Walk about Zion, they are told. Go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that he may tell it to the generation following. For this Elohim is our Elohim forever and ever. For the Olam and beyond, he will be our guide unto death. And as they walk about this wonderful edifice, brethren and sisters, they realize that nothing have ever been built upon the earth to compare with this wonderful temple that they are walking about. Indeed, not a house now for Israel and a few proselytes, but a house of prayer for all nations upon the earth. 300, a building whose facade is over 1 mile long. Towers at the corners, 360 square feet, at least 450 foot high, whose outmost buildings is a double range of magnificent rooms, each 100 feet long by 50 foot wide, and perhaps for the stories 120 foot high. Within this square is the inner temple, a circle of vast buildings over 200 feet high, once again of magnificent vast rooms. And within this circle of buildings, rising above all, is the altar to take the altar offerings of those who come from all over the world to praise and to glorify Yahweh. Revelation 4 verse 10 reads, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure, or as the dialogue has it, because of thy will, they are and were created. As they meditate upon this magnificent, glorious edifice, its magnificence and its beauty, and they consider its purpose, brothers and sisters, they will be humbled. They will be humbled, as all will be humbled who enter within such a glorious edifice. And they are exhorted to tell what they have seen to the generation following them. By these things they have seen, brethren and sisters, they will realize, as Brother Thomas has stated in Eureka, and which Sister Sharon Osborne put on the EW last week, I believe it was. Brother Thomas says, men were not ushered into being for the purpose of being saved or lost. Our Pentecostal friends will shout on the street corners, or at least they used to, I'm saved. God manifestation, not human salvation, was the great purpose of of the eternal spirit. The salvation of a multitude is incidental, says Brother Thomas, to the manifestation, but is not the end proposed. The eternal spirit intended to enthrone himself on the earth, and in so doing to develop a divine family from among men, everyone whom shall be spirit. Because being born of the Spirit, and that this family shall be large enough to fill the earth when perfected, to the entire exclusion of flesh and blood. What wonderful thoughts Brother Thomas gives us there, brethren and sisters. Yes, as we said previously, for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's spoken, and for thy pleasure, or as the dialogue has it, because of thy will, these wonderful things are and were created. For the honour and glory of man, not for me, you, us, or them, but for Yahweh, for his glory. They then say, this Elohim, the Lord Jesus Christ in glorious manifestation of Yahweh, for this is our God for ever and ever. He will be our guide, our shepherd king, even unto death. Hear the mortal Jew, and like their unbelieving fathers, say, this God is our God forever and ever. We'd like to conclude with the words of David in Psalm 24, which we sang. Who shall ascend into the hill of Yahweh? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Or as why he might say, who shall belong to that divine family from among men, everyone whom shall be spirit? The answer, said David, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of Yahweh and righteousness from the God of our salvation. Turn to Isaiah 26 and verse 1. Isaiah 26 and verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Trust ye in Yahweh forever, for in Yahweh is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. The lofty city, he layeth it low, even to the ground, he bringeth it to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the foot of the feet of the poor, and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Yes, in that day this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Therefore we say, shall the redeemed of Yahweh shall return. Their work in the conquest of the earth is finished. The earth is at peace. And so the redeemed of Yahweh returns, and they come with singing unto Zion. An everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Yahweh, brethren and sisters, hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God.